Okay, now, enough of all that stuff. We're in John chapter 10, 7 through 21. Continuing in Advent, Jesus is the Good Shepherd. If you're looking in for the first time today and you're still here, God bless you. Thank you very much for sticking with us. This is kind of letting you have a peek at what our family does. We love each other. We are family. We're a church, but we're a church the way the Bible calls it, imperfectly, but church family. And we're celebrating the weeks coming before Christmas. This is Christmas Sunday, the Sunday before Christmas, the fourth Sunday of Advent, and we're celebrating the names of Jesus. And today we're talking about Jesus is the Good Shepherd. Now, there's a church nearby that's called the Good Shepherd. I'm referring to Jesus, not the church. The church is nice. Jesus is better. The Good Shepherd. Jesus, the Good Shepherd, starts out saying this. Well, John, the not-quite-pastor, starts out saying this. Where's the clicker? These things are normally up here where I can find it because I'm telling you, I need help. Somebody's playing a game with me, but I figured it out. Okay, so Jesus said this. You know, it seems to be starting out a little slowly. It's going to pick up pace eventually. And I thank you, you're still here and smiling. I am the door of the sheep. What does that mean? Well, if you've been watching, I hope you could hear us during the children's message. If not, we did a demonstration here of what this means. I am the door. Jesus said, I am the door of the sheep. No, that's not Jesus. No, even a fancier door. That's not Jesus. Because if you look back in John chapter 10 to verse 1, you can see he's not talking about a door to a house. He's talking about the door to a sheepfold. And here's a picture of a sheepfold. Now, I personally like the sheepfold that we made at the children's message. Having all those men up there, thank you, thank you, thank you. We even had non-members come forward. God bless you. I had a first-time visitor, might have been. Thank you, each of you, for coming up here. I appreciate that. You were this, only better looking. And I think stronger, too. And so you make this is called a permanent sheepfold. I don't know how ancient it is, but it's strong enough to keep the sheep safely inside. They're not going to wander away. And something that wants to get some has to work a little bit hard to do that. And you can see there's an opening in the front. And that's where you put the door or the shepherd. Now, whether Jesus said, I'm a door and I'm going to stand here and I'm going to swing on a hinge, or was metaphorically saying, I'm protecting like a door, I think I'd prefer the latter. Still, we can understand what he is saying. And then there's other sheepfolds. There's temporary ones. If you can see that. If you've been to West Africa, you've seen those before. You've seen temporary ones. In fact, they've got one with, it looks like tumbleweeds with thorns that are like this or this. Those thorns are so long that lions, they tell me, I've never been close to a lion trying to get into this, lions will not go into that sheepfold. They will not. And we had a friend there that, they might have been Carissa, that stepped on that thing. That can go through a flip-flop in a millisecond. It can go through a shoe. I'm telling you, those lions, they're going to find another way to get easy food than trying to tackle that. And this is not quite as formidable, but this is a less permanent sheepfold that still provides protection. And you can see here, the shepherd is actually in his place at the door of the sheepfold to make sure that they are safe. So Jesus is the door of the sheepfold. Now, verse 9 makes sense to us, where he says, I am the door. If anyone, this is what the good shepherd says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. And you can go in and out, so you can see the in and out. It's not being saved and being lost and being saved, being lost. You're in that place where you're going to be at night or whatever, and then you can go out and you can find pasture. What's pasture? You and I are not that excited about grass, at least not excited about eating it. But it's talking about this is what sustains them. And God, Jesus, is going to rescue us. He's going to save us, rescue us, keep us safe. And he's going to provide the way that we can have what we need to do what he wants. I'm praying this more and more for people. If you ask for me to pray for you because you're sick, I pray, God, give them the health they need to serve you. And the person that's asking, if they didn't intend to serve Jesus, That prayer is a weaker prayer then. Sometimes I say be merciful anyway, because it's the kind and loving thing to do. But people that claim, oh, I'm living for Jesus and not living for Jesus, then they don't do any praying for anybody. Well, I don't feel really well now. Would you pray for me? Sure, I'll pray for you. I'll pray for you to have the health you need to do the ministry God's called you to do. And then you can deal with God about what's that ministry you've been called to do. Because if you're not going to do any ministry, I'm going to let God use sickness to get your attention, if he so chooses. I'm not going to tell him what to do, but that's what I do. I don't know what you think. Maybe I'll get a lot less prayer requests then. I'm not quite sure. But I think it's a fine thing, because we're supposed to be serving Jesus. And what do we want the health for? Well, we don't like nobody wants pain and sickness. That's not a problem. Don't we want it to serve God? If we don't want it to serve ourselves, I'm not worried about investing a whole lot of time in that. Quite frankly, I'm not. I'd rather pray that God might be merciful and gracious to you. Might be merciful and gracious to you. So you can find Jesus and be where God wants you to be. I don't know. I think that's what the scriptures are telling us to do. But here Jesus, the good shepherd, is the door of the sheep, and we're going to be saved through him. Through him, we can find pasture. I know you and I can make our own way and provide for ourselves, but we can't provide what Jesus can. I want it his way. Verse 10, further, he says that he's going to give us life. You know, a thief just wants to steal and kill and destroy, and there's people like that around there, even in so-called Christian churches, but certainly in all the cults. They want to steal and kill and destroy, but Jesus came that we might have. Do you see those two words, life and abundantly? And we can have life. That's life now and life eternal. Just going to do a sound check. Hey, AV, this is going through okay now, isn't it? I don't see Danielle up here, so it must be all right. Thank you so much. Excellent. I thought you forgot your shoes or something. You came up there, and I didn't keep track of it. And then you're right beside me. Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate that very, very much. You might have life, and that's life now, and life eternal, and might have it abundantly. Crew uses that a lot, abundant life, full life. People saying, like, I'm bored. I had some kind of a federal health test the other day. You know, if you're past a certain age, they ask you all these questions. Are you depressed? I was laughing at that one. No, I'm not depressed. They said in the last week or two or whatever the question was, you know, how often you felt depressed. And I'm like, ma'am, I'd have to schedule to have time to be depressed somewhere in the next month. I don't have time even to do that right now. But the answer is no. No. Have life abundantly. I mean, there is no excuse for being bored if you know who Jesus is. He has abundant life for us. And if you, just talk to Jesus about that. If you're not experiencing abundant life, but maybe you need to talk to Jesus about just knowing Jesus and then find all that he has for you. And you've got this in your notes. You know, in the bulletin, there's all that, there's notes. And there's these references here. I'll repeat them for the people that are at home. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 5. It says that we will have abundant suffering. I don't like to hear that one. But it's helpful to know that that's all within God's plan. I do not want to suffer. I pray for my dear ones that I love. I don't want them to suffer. The person that says, God wants you healthy and wealthy and never to die, send me the money, they've got a really lousy message. Because we're not all healthy and we're not all wealthy. And unless the rapture comes, we're all going to die. That message is inconsistent and falls apart upon inspection. Don't give any money to health and wealth people. Do not do that. The scriptures say there's suffering and persecution. And if you follow Jesus, you should expect some of that. I don't like it. Abundant suffering. I really don't like that. But the scriptures, when you suffer or I suffer, the scriptures can handle it because it's part of God's plan. They can handle that. Because right after abundant suffering, it says abundant comfort. I like that part of the verse. God can give us comfort. Sometimes that comfort's going to come because we lose the disease. Praise God. I think of Miss Pearl when they operated on her, or they got ready to operate on her to remove this big tumor, size of a whatever. And they said, it's gone. We don't know where it is. We don't know how it left. She said, I know how it left. God sometimes does that. And other times he doesn't. But he gives you comfort to handle that. And if we just took time right now to talk to people and give testimony about when you were suffering and God gave you comfort, we'd have many, many times the message that I'm going to give you today in length of time to hear that. Abundant suffering, but abundant comfort. And much of it comes from dear ones like you as you love each other and you're so kind to love me and my family. And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4, it says that we have abundant love. We have abundant love. I like that. I like that. Where somebody's thinking about your best interests and going to love you abundantly. And of course, in the plan of the church, as we come together, we love each other. And we even love the ones that are hard to love and unlovable, unlovely. I'm unlovely and people love me anyway. God bless you. Thank you. I love you. Ephesians 3, verse 20 says that we have abundant answers to prayer. In fact, more abundant than we can imagine. God can do that. If you start praying seriously and you're walking with the Spirit of God, you will see answers to prayer, small and big. Now, sometimes I get a little impatient when I haven't seen a big one for a while. I haven't seen one for a few weeks. But my personal goal is to see prayer answered every single week. I used to measure that from prayer meeting to prayer meeting. I wanted to see prayer answered before the previous week. And if it didn't happen, I thought it was probably my fault, not God's. I'm not praying the way God wants me to pray. I'm not praying enough. I am not interacting with you enough to know the things I should be praying for. Because you and I can expect in this abundant life that Jesus offers abundant answers to prayer. Now, that's not to say there's anyone amongst us who's been raised up that if you give them $100, they get all your prayers answered. I still don't believe that theology. I believe what the Bible says, though, that we can have abundant answers to our prayer. And then 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 3. My wife is probably saying, 2 Thessalonians. Whenever she's just preached through a book, she gets really excited. Whenever you say the book she just preached through, she just taught through. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And of course, she calls them her girls. All of you, her girls, get excited maybe too when you hear that. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3. I've always liked that class, by the way, because it has the best eating in the church. I'm disappointed now my office is not right across from that because whenever they got food, I always got some too. And I don't get that now. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3. It says that we can have abundant spiritual growth. That's what we want. Do not settle for having the faith of a 9-year-old. In fact, for some of us, we should pray that we would have the faith of a 9-year-old because we have less faith than that. I came here to this church and I said, I'm a person of small faith and you all are people of big faith. I need to grow. I think I've grown some. I don't think I've grown enough. Don't settle for where you are spiritually. Some people, they got their get-out-of-jail-free card, they think, and they're happy. I just want to be there. I don't want to actually make a difference in the world. I don't actually know God well. I just want to know I'm going to go to heaven and not to hell. If you talk like that, don't be completely sure where you're going, because that's not evidence that the God that's the creator of the universe has invaded your life. There should be like a difference and a thirst for a hunger for growing spiritually. And I would that each of us would have hearts just as sensitive as Nan's, that if by COVID or health we can't see each other, that would be a great disappointment. One of our younger men was chatting with me this week, and it surprised me, really appreciated it, because he works a bad schedule and can't always be with us in worship. And I was talking about, well, I'm glad we got virtual worship. And he said, but we have to be on guard that we don't settle just for watching on the television or the cell phone. Let's praise God. Wisdom at a young age. And there's people that can't be here for one reason or another, and there's people that won't be here out of laziness. I'm not going to identify which is which, but God can put that in your heart. Are you sitting at home because you can't be here? That's okay. You know, are you watching this off hours a different time because you work for the police or healthcare or all the stuff that we have, air traffic controllers and everything to make our country work, even on a Sunday morning? God bless you that you're watching it another time. We're sorry not here. But if you're growing spiritually, you're missing at least. And you're sad, maybe to tears, that I want to see my church family. I love my church family, and I'm always happy to see you all. I never feel more comfortable in any church than when I'm here. So, you can have life and have it abundantly from the shepherd who is the door, and he is the door because he is the good shepherd. That's what's good about it, or what is good about it, maybe I should ask. In verses 11 to 18, what's good about this shepherd, Jesus? I'll just show you a few things right from the text. Verse 11, he lays down his life for, that's substitution, the one who was not guilty of sin, exchanging his life for the one who is guilty of sin. Now, a shepherd loves his sheep enough to risk his life. And there you can see the shepherd that's approaching a wild dog. And I'm telling you what, you think that wild dog's got an edge? Don't think that. I was in West Africa, and there was a dog that was troubling where we were. And then it stopped, and it was a shepherd's stick that stopped that trouble. I'm telling you, we were in a village 5 days after we left. It was invaded by another tribe, every one of them wielding machetes. All they had was their shepherd sticks to defend themselves. The other side charged three times. Three times they were repelled. Not everybody walked home that day, but it was the guys with the machete, not the guys with the shepherd stick. They all lived through it. Get behind a guy with a shepherd stick. You guys never seen a shepherd stick. You can see that one there. That's kind of close to one. They know how to. You ever seen the martial arts things? Yeah. It's not exactly nunchucks, but it's the longer one. And the shepherd risks his life, but Jesus does one better. Jesus gave his life. That's why he's the good shepherd. He gave his life for the sheep, the one who was not guilty for those who are. We cannot save ourselves. Do you believe that? Jesus died that we might have a life and have it abundantly. Now, in contrast, there are people, and he keeps talking about these religious people, that are hired hands. You know, I've had people tell me, I'd like to be a pastor. It looks like a good job. And I direct them first, why don't you go to a church? See what it's all about. Rather sign up to try to be up front and lead somebody to something you don't have. Those people care nothing for the sheep. And you can tell somebody loves Jesus or not, because if they're just in it for the money, they love themselves. And they're $3,000 and $5,000 and $10,000 suits. And their fancy cars and boats. Not the sheep that they're supposed to be loving. Jesus cares for the sheep. He says in verse 14, I know my own and my own know me. Verse 15, look at this. Just as. This is a remarkable just as. In verse 14, Jesus says that he knows his. If you've trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior, if it's real, if it's genuine, he knows you and you know him. And as you spend time with him, you're going to know him better. He knows you and you know him just as, he says the same way, this is just astounding, the same way as the Father knows me. Jesus is saying, God the Father knows me, I know God the Father, and we can know each other that same way. I know God better and better every year. I don't know him well enough at all. Do you aspire to know God? Trust in Jesus. Do you aspire to know him better, more than anything else? You can. This is like abundant, just as. And then he kind of floored them probably in verse 16. He said, I've got other sheep. I love that. I didn't even plan it. I had the sheep that came into the sheepfold, and I looked on the side in the children's message, and there were other sheep. They were acting like sheep, but they were in another fold. Who is that? Jesus says there's other people than you. Now, some people look at the day, very progressive people, and they say, oh, it's the Hindus and the Buddhists and the, you know, Jainists and the, you know, all the other religions, because all the religions are the same. That is absolutely false. It's not other religions. It's the Gentiles, the non-Jews. He's saying the Jewish people, that's in that sheepfold, but there's another fold, the non-Jews, the Gentiles, you and I, unless we've got a visitor today that's Jewish, because I've asked this before and we didn't have any at the other times I've asked. It's Gentiles, and I can show you two ways. Number one, you look in the history of the church. It's always Jew, Gentile, Jew, Gentile. We got some issues, and they have to learn how to be one. Or if you want to, you can just go to Revelation chapter 5, verse 9. Revelation chapter 5, verse 9, where it talks about the people will be there, all the Hindus, all the... No, it doesn't say any of them like that. It says that all tribes, people from every tribe, every people, every nation, every language, those are the ones that are going to be together worshiping Jesus, Revelation 5, 9. It doesn't say from all the religions, not at all. They're not going to be there from any of those religions. Only Christ followers will be there. That's the other sheep. It's you and I. It's you and I. And so he is a good shepherd. Let me just show you the power of this good shepherd and shows how much he loves us. To John chapter 10, verse 18, no one takes it from me, but I lay it down. He's talking about his life. I have authority to lay it down of my own accord. Nobody took it from him. We can't say, there are actual religions, for instance, the Moonies, that think that Jesus failed. The Unification Church. Jesus failed. And it was his disciples' fault. They should have lied for him. That's why some cults lie. They teach him to lie. Because as long as you get the right results, it's okay. We do not teach that. Lying, we don't lie to get God's way. God will get his way, and we will be truthful in going in that direction. It says here, I. Can you see those? I is really a skinny letter, but I have authority. Jesus saying, I have authority to lay my life down. He gave it. Nobody took it from him. He let them. He gave it. He laid it down. And he has authority to take it up. It just didn't like happen. He didn't like hit the lottery. He chose my body will die. He's not going to die, but my body will die, and my body will come back to life again. Jesus has power. He chose to do that, and he did it for us. This shows his great love for us. If you would just look a few chapters later, it says this, that no one has a greater love, or greater love hath no man than this, that he lay his life down for his friend. And many people think about the military as people have to do that in the military. They fight for each other. They fight for their country, but they if they lay their life down, they lay it down for the other guys in the squad to protect them. John 15, verse 13. And that's the love of the good shepherd, that he laid his life. So we've got the good shepherd, and it's a love thing going on. That's the evidence that he loves us. Now, how do people respond? Well, the response is divided. It divided then, divided now. Because Jesus said, his Father sent him. Now he's claiming that he's God. A lot of people were turned off by that. In fact, a lot of people today are turned off by that. They don't mind Jesus being around. They don't mind a statue. They don't mind an idol. I had a neighbor, went to a church that has those types of statues, and he called them idols. He said, I got my idols. I don't need to go to church. Well, calls a spade, and he goes one of the great denominations that claims to be Christian. But they sell statues, so you can be happy with those statues in your house. And verse 19, what happened there? There was division. There was division because of his words. And that is the same then and the same now. That there's, we tell people, I love Jesus so much, and they're like, it's not a problem. Not a problem. Help people. Don't make me help. Give generously. Don't make me give. Stand against sin. Just don't stand against my sin. There's actually legislation in Canada, the United Kingdom, that makes it illegal to identify what the Bible says is sin. And the scary thing is that whatever they do, we eventually figure out to do here. And we're starting to do it already. Just let people do what they want to do. Oh, well, they do what they want to do. But can I say what the Bible says about it? You shouldn't. Right now, we're allowed to. I hope we always are. But that's what the division is. Jesus is fine, just don't make him Lord telling us what to do. And in verse 27, taking it out of the text for the morning, but I wanted to see what John says just a little bit later in there. Is Jesus still talking about this? You know, I love this verse. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. The distinctive is not, how you know if a person is a Christian is not, they claim it. They say so. You know, the percentage of people that claim to follow Jesus and go to church is much smaller now than it used to be. It's still a majority of the country, but much smaller. What's happening? I don't know. I think people are just being honest. I don't think there's ever more than 8% of our country that was saved. I don't know. How do you know? But you can tell if they don't follow Jesus, their claim's false. Jesus says that his sheep hear the voice of the shepherd and they follow it. And the people that don't hear the voice and don't follow it, and thank you, God bless you, you're here today following it. He says, come together and you're doing it. He says, give generously and you're doing it. He says, pray and you're doing it. He says, love one another and you're doing it. God bless you. You're following his voice. Well, here we are at fourth Sunday of Advent. Why does this give us hope? It gives us hope because we all need love. And the good shepherd is a good shepherd because he's loving. He's here to save us. He's here to give us pasture to provide for us. He's here to be the door that protects us. He's here to, he says he wants to provide us life. He wants to provide life that is abundant. And this is all because of his love, that he's a good shepherd and that he loves us. Because he loves us, he's a good shepherd. Because he's a good shepherd, he loves us, and he chose to lay down his life for us. That great exchange, our sin for his righteousness. That is a deal we should never turn down. And he rose again from the dead. Well, the response is divided, but I'm just concerned about your response today. Where do you stand? Are you one of his flock? Are you one of his flock? If you hear and you obey, not what you want, but everything, imperfectly, everything, maybe you are. But if you just claim it, if you just hear and don't do much about it, if you do the things that are convenient you like, but ignore the things, I don't really like those verses, that's not seen in your life, so there's no evidence then that Jesus is really there. So I would invite you today, wherever you are, get closer to that good shepherd. Enjoy that love. If you don't know him, ask if he might let you into that sheepfold by grace through faith, believing in the life he laid down. And if you do know him, I trust you're not settling for a plain, boring life, but that you want that abundant, full life of knowing God. I mean, it's a hard life sometimes, but knowing him well, being filled with joy, having hope because of great, great love, and able to enjoy the celebration of the birth of Jesus in a different way this year. Let me pray for you. Our gracious Lord, I do pray, thanking you that you are our good shepherd. I do thank you for the love that that shows us. I do thank you for my church family, so kind, imperfect, but striving to love each other and love and follow you in every way. Help my friends that realize they do not know you, that they might find you, or find that you have found them. Help my sisters and my brothers who with me are aware of their imperfections and their nature bent towards sin. Thank you for your forgiveness. Help us, Lord, to grow spiritually in this Christmas season and be able to find victory over temptation and sin today and this week. We pray to your glory in the name of Jesus. Amen.